Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff and my special guest today is a man who I met many, many years ago in Vancouver, Canada. And he's travelled the world making hilarious and very entertaining and informative videos on YouTube, which we're going to learn all about. He's a traveller, he's an explorer, he's an everything. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from the other side of the world, it's Matt Ross. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Goff. Much appreciated.
That's okay. So like I said, could you tell people just who are new to you just a little bit about who is Matt Ross?
Oh, sure. Okay. I guess a world traveler, storyteller, bon vivant. I'm in this position, and with a little bit of privilege that I can travel. And in addition to these travels, that my focus has now been, especially in these past few years, of creating film as I travel, focusing in on local stories, visually stimulating stories, and out of the way places that, most importantly, can be visited on a budget.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to get into your YouTube channel, Borders on Budgets, very shortly, but I want to go back to when I first met you in Vancouver. Now, when I met you, you said to me, Goff, should I go to Central America and write a book about my experiences? And I said, you would be foolish not to, and for some strange reason, you took my advice. So can you tell us a little bit about your travels around Central America and the book that you wrote?
Oh, yes. So this was back in 2005. We met in Vancouver at the hostel in Central Vancouver. You were on a comedy tour and I was escaping Canada. So our paths crossed. And I wanted to go to the United States and then from the U.S. go into Mexico. And for me, it was going to be a 6-month expedition. Where I would continue at that time writing. The U.S. border turned me away on the presumption that I was working. I can't necessarily blame the United States Immigration and Naturalization Services for thinking that I was working, even though I wasn't. So back to the hostel I came, distraught. And we chatted some more. And yes, your sage advice, perhaps the only time in history that the words golf and sage advice could be said in the same sentence, but nonetheless. And you said, continue writing, but bypass the United States, go into Mexico. Sure enough, I did. I followed what you had to say. And at the time, that became my book called Short Straws, A Gringo's Perspective of Backpacking Central America.
And what did you love about Central America? What was it that drew you there?
What drew me there is perhaps also what continues to draw me in terms of other world travels. And that is, the first one is, I can afford it. So that's one. Two, I did have, and still do, some Spanish. So it makes ease of travel, well, that much easier. Certainly I love the food. I love the people, the various climates, that Mexico and Central America has to offer, from its tropics to its mountains, to its rainforests, to its coastal, to its coast. So, there's a lot to like about Mexico and Central America. And, it didn't take me long to begin to express my thoughts, my observations, my feelings into Short Straws. Glad that I went, even if it required the detour around the United States.
Yeah, well, who needs America? Let's be honest. Who needs America when you can travel around all over Central America?
Well, again, sometimes things work out for a reason. Excuse me. And in this case, that was 15 years ago, and I've been better for it since.
Now you have been like literally all over the world. For some reason, you ignore Australia, but we won't go into that because it's a whole nother argument. But you have been all over the world, and I've followed your travels, and you've been to some really amazing destinations all over the place. What would be the top two or three places that you've been to that you've absolutely loved?
Oh, boy. Okay. Right off the bat, Mexico. And I've spent the better part of a year on different travels throughout that country. And there are still places for me to go back, particularly in the central, around Leon and San Luis Potosi. But Mexico would certainly be in my top two, three countries. Ethiopia really surprised me, pleasantly so. And the food, the warmth of the people, surprisingly, the ease with which to get around, although the transportation from one city to the next is quite large, but the domestic airfare is cheap. So that surprised me. So Ethiopia. And here's another one, Albania.
Okay, why Albania?
Because it is easy in which to travel, also on a budget, and my budget tends to be, my budget tends to be about $30 a day on the ground. So I'm excluding airfare. I'm excluding when I get back, if there's any equipment that I need to purchase. But just on the ground, day to day, $30 a day, Albania can be easily achieved on that budget. The food is surprisingly simple. If you have a hankering for Western food, pizza, spaghetti, ice cream, your seven-year-old will be satiated in Albania, so much so that you'll actually be screaming for Greek salads, which they serve as well. So Albanian food is quite simple and easy. But also with Albania, because of how repressed that country was for so long, that any foreigners going to that country, of which it is easy to enter, they're welcomed, and especially anybody under the age of 30, 35 who know not of the Berlin Wall, the Iron Curtain, communism, they're very curious as to what the perception is for outsiders, and so there's always an opportunity to strike up a conversation with the youth of Albania.
Now, another place I know you visited, which I found really, because I do want to talk about your YouTube channel very shortly, but I saw some of your little films in regards to some of the places like Belarusia and the old communist towns that you visited, and just the I found those videos really, really interesting, more for the historical facts that you were able to learn. Are you able to tell us a little bit about those sort of ex-communist countries around that sort of area that you've seen?
Well, certainly, and for these past 3 years, four borders on budgets, I have had a concentration on East and Central Europe. The first reason of which, again, it's because of the economics. And these are countries that, while they are embracing capitalism, some of these countries have joined the EU. Still, the economics of these countries, with the wages of most of the workers, means that for those traveling into these countries, they're able to do so on a reasonable budget. And again, I'm on about $30 a day. So the second reason that I'm interested in Eastern and Central Europe is because there are still numerous facets of these countries. Once you get into the countryside, that these countries are still 20, 30 years behind as far as infrastructure. Certainly in Albania, one of my favorite videos was riding on the trains and literally being at the front of the engine where the engineer said you can go and walk, and stand at the front of the engine as it goes down the track, albeit at 25 or 30 kilometers an hour. But nonetheless, that's just something that you couldn't necessarily do in a Western country.
Workplace
safety laws.
Yeah, workplace health and safety laws. Absolutely.
Exactly. So there's still a lifestyle in Central and Eastern Europe, once you get into the countryside, that is still antiquated.
Now, like I say, I do want to... You go on.
Okay, and the other reason that I'm particularly interested in that area is just because of my previous studies way back when, in post-World War II, and the Cold War. So I guess I'm old enough, I'll let the viewers determine that, but that for me, the Berlin Wall, the Iron Curtain, communism, the Cold War remains a fascinating part of history. And so to still see it in some traces, have its tentacles on society still, for me, is interesting.
Well, that's very true. I remember one video. I'll probably get this very wrong, so I apologize. But I do remember one video, and I'm pretty sure it was an ex-Russian country, because Russia is now a country, but, you know, an ex-Soviet Union country that you visited, and there were still, like, bullet holes in the wall, and there were still, like, you know, things from 30 years ago that have just never been fixed. And do you find that I find that sort of aspect of history really fascinating. Are you a little bit the same?
And now your viewers can figure out how old I am. When I crossed into East Berlin for the first time in 1988, and to see that stark difference between then West Berlin and East Berlin, and to know that once I've crossed into the wall or crossed through the wall into then the DDR, the Democratic Deutsche Republic, East Germany, and to still see the bullet holes, which if that was 1988, these were now 40-year-old war remnants that had never been repaired. And that perhaps is what sparked that interest then in World War II and post-war relations between the United States and the Soviet Union. There was a recent story when I was in Westerplatte, which is the start of the Second World War on the Baltic coast, just outside of Gdansk in Poland. And there are the buildings that still are pockmarked with the bullet holes that were fired upon by the Germans, by the Nazis, in September 1st, 1939. So these historical places still exist. And as a Canadian, I certainly wouldn't see this back home. As an Aussie, you wouldn't necessarily see this down under. But still, for many places worldwide, war and recent history, especially of conflict, still exist and are still within the psyche of many of the civilians.
Now you have, like I say, traveled all over the world. For those folks who obviously I know are currently in the current state of climate, traveling's really not a huge thing people are doing, but eventually they'll be traveling again. So just so people can be forward thinking, because we always like to forward think, what are a few really good travel tips for people? Like when they're thinking about a destination, for example, or they're packing their bags, what are one or two really good tips that you can give?
Have a reason as to why you're traveling. Instead of just necessarily picking a city or a country, which of course you need to do to begin with, have two or three different activities or objects in reasons for wanting to visit that city. If in the absence of that, if you don't know why you're traveling, then you'll spend a lot of time once you get to your destination, then figuring out what to do, which is then wasted time because most people do have limited vacation time. So do your homework before going, have a number have a number of activities or reasons for travel before going.
And you say, like, go on.
Oh, okay. And the second idea might be, instead of trying to do everything, which of course is something that I did and most travelers do when they first are traveling, instead concentrate your activities, concentrate your experiences in a smaller geographical area, so that you're not spending as much time in transit, which itself can be enjoyable, but then you're not exhausting yourself going from place A to place B. So a little bit less, and you can accomplish a lot more.
No, very sound advice. I like it. Yes, absolutely. Now, you said earlier about going to Ethiopia. Now, that's not a place that people would naturally think to visit. Would another good tip, like, I would think would be maybe think outside the square. Go somewhere where your mates and whatnot have never thought about going. Like, everybody goes to Paris. Everybody goes to Japan. You know what I mean? Like, maybe try somewhere where just you've never thought about going. Like Ethiopia, for example. It's a place that no one would think about going on a holiday to. Would that be another bit of advice you could probably give?
Well, we all seek our levels of comfort. And whether that's a geographical location or even the accommodations or food, excuse me, or the geographical location or the accommodations where we seek. So we all seek our levels of comfort. I wouldn't necessarily say to the 18-year-old coming out of Australia, especially if they're in the cities, go off to Addis Ababa as your first international destination. Certainly for Australians, they're looking at Indonesia, they're looking at Japan, they're looking at Korea, or they're looking at East Asia in general. But this is something that one may want to work into. Though I would recommend that wherever that first or second travel destination might be, is go outside of the cities. Start seeing some of the country life. Spend an hour or two by train, by bus, and see what it's like outside of the capital or the larger cities, just to get a different perspective.
No, I like that. I agree entirely. I agree 100%.
If I was to go to Australia, and I say if because just because of the costs involved, it's not prohibitive, it is prohibitive for my budget. But if I was to go, for me, the fascination would be either Tasmania or to start getting up into the Northern Territory. And to see the outback of Australia. That, to me, would be the fascination, in part because the Gold Coast and the East Coast of the country might be similar to that of Western Europe and North America. So for me, Australia would never be out of the question, but I would now want to see the rural elements of the country.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, let's talk about Borders on Budgets, your YouTube channel, because you release maybe, let's say, on average, sort of a weekly or bi-weekly video. It goes for about 15 minutes thereabouts, and it's a really entertaining little package about your travels and what you're doing and why you're doing it and all that sort of stuff. Can you take us through Borders on Budgets, why you do it, what it is, and all that kind of stuff?
Sure. So Borders on Budgets, it's now ending its third year of production. And generally, I create one video a week, two if I'm really hopping and bopping. And the videos run about 8 to 10 minutes each. And even if I now include a minute at the introduction and a minute and a half towards its conclusion, still the main body of each film is around 6 to 8 minutes. What I seek to do is to find unusual locations, again, that are budget friendly, and also try to find the local people so that they can incorporate their story in addition to my commentary and my observations and my infusion of whatever I know with some humor. And the reason I seek to find the local people is that when we do travel, this is also something that I like to do, and that is do meet the locals. It's so easy to find ourselves when we travel in our own little bubbles that we fail to incorporate or meet local people. also by having these people into Borders on Budget's videos, it gives a level of authenticity that I as an outsider shouldn't always be providing, especially as a first person, unless of course it's an experience. But as far as information or history, this is where something I would like to have the locals tell their stories.
And it's a really entertaining channel, so I do encourage people to absolutely subscribe to Matt's YouTube channel, which is Borders on Budgets, because it is really, really entertaining. I find it, like he said, there's a bit of humour in there, and it's very informational as well, and you do hear from the locals, and it really is an entertaining little watch. So you've got all, obviously, your back videos there that people can check out, all your previous travels, and then obviously you've got your updates that you're always doing there. Just very quickly, before we wrap it up, has there ever been any situations where you've been filming something for Borders on Budgets and things have got a little bit hairy, you thought to yourself, I might want to stop filming right about now? Any situations of that nature?
Of my many playlists, I do have one called Off-Camera Questioning by Authorities. There was one in Yerevan, Armenia, and in the central square, Republic Square, I was filming myself just to give as an introduction, and I just wanted all the large buildings in the background. I knew I went to a boulevard, but no cars would go into this concrete area, and I was only gonna be there for a few minutes. Ultimately, a couple police officers did come up and say, hey, what you doing? And I said, oh, this is what I'm doing. I'm filming for my YouTube channel. And they weren't as amused as I was. So very quickly, and within a matter of minutes, there were four patrol cars, each with two police and they of different branches. And they were questioning what I was doing, so much so that they took my day pack and rifled through it. And it even had some of my clothes, strangely enough. One of the questions to prove that this was my stuff was, what color underwear did you have in the bag? And I go, I don't know. You know, Fruit of the Loom. It's a rainbow of colors. Their English wasn't as strong as mine at the time. Anyway, they said, fine, go do what you got to do and, you know, just bugger off. And I filmed the rest of the day, though I was a little shaken. I didn't realize, though, that about 3 or 4 days later, upon me leaving the country, or on the day that I was leaving the country, by coincidence, that was the start of Armenian riots. This was back in 2018. So I, as an outsider, would not have had a pulse on the politics of that country, most countries, because I'm not reading the local newspapers, I'm not watching the local television, and even if I did, it's in a language I wouldn't understand. So there can be situations where, especially once one pulls out a video camera, that the local authorities just might not be as receptive to what I'm doing, which is based on entertainment purposes for a YouTube channel.
Well, you make sure you don't get yourself shot, Matt, because we want to see more Borders on Budget videos, all right? So just make sure that no armed security guards come and rough you up in the future.
Yeah, I would avoid that too, because part of Borders on Budgets is I choose not to travel with travel insurance because of the costs involved for long-term travel. So yes, more sage advice by Goff.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of Beer Nuts Productions podcast this episode. I'd like to sincerely thank Matt Ross, because the connection sometimes might have been a bit off because we're using Skype, because he's in the middle of nowhere currently. So I do appreciate your time very much, Matt, for taking the time to come on the podcast. It's beernutsproductions.com, obviously, for all your entertainment needs. And please like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a nice comment in the comment section on whatever app you choose to be listening to this podcast on. And again, Matt, safe travels to you, my friend. And no doubt I will speak to you shortly.
Goff, much appreciated. Continued success with Beer Nuts.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you so much. And until next time, folks, bye for now.